We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
The subject for discussion is the conscience a safe guide? Is your conscience a safe guide? Conscience is an evaluation, approval or disapproval of what is right or wrong. Conscience does not determine what is right and wrong, but it is a sense of the right and the wrong according to moral judgment. The person's moral judgment is the mainspring of his conscience. Conscience approves or disapproves what one's moral judgment dictates to be right or wrong. Cruden's Concordance defines conscience as that faculty within us which determines as the moral quality of our thoughts, words, and acts. A conscience can be educated or trained to recognize good and evil, but its action is involuntary. End of quotation. One's conscience is that faculty of the inner man which approves that which he feels is right and disapproves that which he feels is wrong. Conscience is regulated by our moral judgment. Moral judgment is based on education and environmental influences. One's moral judgment, therefore, may be right or wrong according to the teaching or influence. A man's conscience, therefore, may be said, this is right and this is wrong, because that is his judgment based upon the information received. But suppose the information is wrong, which of course is often the case, then his judgment is wrong and his conscience is wrong, even though the conscience may have said it is right. If one is taught that something is right, even though it may be 100% wrong, he may expect the conscience to conclude that it is right. But if it is wrong, it is not right. The conscience simply acted on wrong judgment based on wrong information. The conscience is not always a safe guide. An opinionated conscience may totally disqualify one to render proper judgment. The opinionated conscience is self-centered, self-interest judgments based on one's own rights of standards of right and wrong, regardless of truth upon which all judgments are to be predicated. There can be no doubt that God endowed man with the conscience when he created him. Man was given the capacity to judge what is right and what is wrong. Man was told by God what was right and what was wrong when he placed him in the Garden of Eden. He sinned when he violated God's law. My friends, the evaluation of right and wrong may become distorted and perverted by evil environments and false teaching. Under certain influences and teaching, a child could be taught to believe that it would be proper to commit almost any sin known. Surely, no sensible person would contend that to commit such offenses would be no sin, because the person did it in all good conscience. Not infrequently do we hear the statement, let your conscience be your guide. This is a mistake. The office of the conscience is not that of a guide. The office of the conscience is not to judge. One feeling is no evidence of his salvation. When one says, I feel like I'm saved, he is predicating his hope of salvation on the wrong premise. A person's conscience may be perfectly clear, void of offense, his feelings entirely satisfactory to himself, and yet be entirely wrong. Saul of Tarsus declared of himself before he became a Christian, I verily thought myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Acts 26, verse 9. If his feelings were a safe guide, then he was right in persecuting the church. But he later declared that he was the chief of sinners. The passengers on the great Titanic had a feeling of absolute safety and security, thinking it was a ship that would never sink. But with their false feeling of security, their doom was nonetheless a reality. They went to the bottom of the ocean. Beloved, motive is a predominant factor in the process of education of the conscience. Actually, thousands have been taught to believe that it is right to rob, steal, and murder because such acts as a means to an end are justified. Who would say that such actions are right because the men who perform the deeds believe them to be right? All religious persecutions are the result of perverted and distorted conscience. The perversions were inspired by motives which concluded that the means to the end were justified. Men, in the name of religion and in honor of God, have resorted to robbery, persecution, and murder, their motives being to defend that which they believe to be truth and destroy the opponents of the truth. The stronger the conscience in such cases, the greater the persecution. No Bible character serves to illustrate these facts more vividly than the great man of God, the Apostle Paul, before his conversion to Christ. Saul of Tarsus was a fierce and bitter enemy of the church of our Lord before his conversion. He breathed threatenings and slaughter. He delivered Christian men and women to the prison. He consented to the death of Christians. Yet, he was very conscientious and deeply religious. His motive was to please God. In the apostle's address before the Sanhedrin, this is what he had to say. And I say, are you listening? Brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Acts 23, verse 1. According to Acts 22, verses 3 and 4, the apostle furthermore declared, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect man of the law of the fathers, and was zealous for God, as you are all this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. My friends, here is a man who acted in all good conscience, zealous for God. But his conscience and zeal for God led him to sin against God. After he became a Christian, when referring to that period of his life before his conversion, he wrote, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. He was very sincere, with a conscience void of offense, full of zeal for God, but chief of sinners. His conscience was not a safe guide when he was in an unsaved condition, while the chief of sinners was persecuting God's people. Saul's conscience was not a safe guide because his moral judgment was wrong. His judgment was wrong because he was improperly taught. No one would dare question Saul's honesty and sincerity. No one would challenge his motives. He thought that he was serving God, when in reality, he was serving Satan. In gratitude and humility, after he became a Christian, he said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. Saul's conscience was pure, his motive sincere, and his zeal admired, but a conscience improperly taught, ignorant of the gospel of Christ, ignorant of the identity of the Lord's church. For the lack of proper teaching, his conscience led him to be classified as the chief of sinners. My friends, let us observe the change which occurred in the conscience of this great man, Saul. I invite you to read very carefully Acts 9 and the first 19 verses, part of which I quote. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And trembling and astonished, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and that it shall be told thee what thou must do. As Paul reported his conversion in the 22nd chapter of Acts, verses 10 through 16, it is recorded, And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and that it shall be told thee all things which are appointed for thee to do. Acts 9, verse 6. Luke records, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul's conscience is now being properly educated, and in the process of education, his conscience is being completely reversed. His conscience, which once led him to persecute Christ and his church, now cries out, What shall I do, Lord? The answer came, It shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul's conscience, which had always been pure, honest, and sincere, must now be taught and changed. It shall be told thee what thou must do, the Bible says. An honest and sincere heart immediately resulted in the change of conviction. He was made to realize that while he thought he was serving God, he was persecuting Christ. What a terrible sin his conscience had led him to commit. Oh, my friends, many sincere people are in the world today who think they're serving God because of a pure conscience and a sincere motive. But in reality, they have never become children of God, have never really obeyed the Lord. Their conscience has been improperly taught. Like Saul of Tarsus, their convictions must be changed. The conscience must be directed by a divine truth. The question, what must I do to be saved, must be answered in all good conscience. The truth must be obeyed, even though it may mean a complete reverse of the former dictates of the conscience. Saul did not argue the case as many religious leaders do today. If he were like some men, he might have said, I am right because all of these years I have endeavored to serve God with all the zeal of my being, out of a sincere conscience. Therefore, I am not interested in making a change. I will not hear those things which will change my conscience. I am perfectly satisfied. But my friends, Saul did not say that. That is the philosophy of many religious people today. On the contrary, Saul cried, Lord, what will thou have me do? The Lord did not leave Saul with the conscience of despair. Through the process of education, his conscience was changed from the belief of error to the belief of truth. Jesus said, Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And again he said, If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know the teaching. Now, let us observe the change of Saul's conscience, his change from a sinner to a saint. In true faith and deep penitence, Saul waits and prays, waiting to be told what he must do to be saved. Ananias, the preacher, was sent to preach the gospel to this conscientious man. A gospel which would completely change his conscience and transform his life. A gospel which would direct his conscience to contend earnestly for those things he formerly earnestly endeavored to destroy. When Ananias came to Saul, he found a man who was willing to change his conscience. A man who realized that his conscience had not been a safe guide in the past because he had been improperly taught. The preacher said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, and see the just one, and hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 22, verses 14 through 16. Here is a man whose conscience had led him to be baptized into Christ. To wash away thy sins, the Bible says, as was commanded by the Lord. Previously, his conscience had forbidden him to be baptized into Christ. Now, his conscience leads him to obey the Lord in baptism. Previously, his conscience had led him to persecute the way of Christians. Now, his conscience leads him to be persecuted for the name of the Lord. Before his conversion, Saul was the chief of sinners. Now, in all good conscience, but a changed conscience, he becomes a tower and a strength in the church of the living God. Through a converted conscience, Saul becomes truly a converted man. He spent the rest of his life fighting the true principles of Christianity directed by a pure conscience, the same principles he once fought against, dictated by a pure conscience. You ask, what's the difference? His conscience, although pure and sincere, originally was influenced and directed by religious error before he became a Christian. But when he became a Christian, his conscience, which reversed itself in many respects, was directed and dictated by divine truth. A man's conscience, therefore, is not always a safe guide, but it is a safe guide only when it is guided by divine truth. Ladies and gentlemen, is your conscience a safe guide today?
Thank you, Mr. Howard.